Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We do need to talk about something a little bit or a lot more serious. South Africa, the risk of becoming a mafia state. Organized crime is fast emerging as the biggest threat to South Africa's economy. That's according to Busi Mavuso. She's the CEO of Business Leadership South Africa. Well, we are joined this morning by Busi Mavuso, who is the Chief Executive Officer at Business Leadership South Africa. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm good. Thank you. And how are you?
I am good. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm good, but this article is quite hard hitting, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, I think it's really appalling, you know, how organized crime is actually increasing in South Africa. There was an interesting report that was actually done, you know, I think it was in September by GTOC, the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mark Shaw was behind it. And it really shows organized crime as an existential threat to South Africa. You know, and when you look at that report, it's really, really, you know, shocking, because it shows all the different levels of crime, you know, being on the increase and actually on the rise, you know, in South Africa. It shows the fact that extortion is on the increase. Kidnapping for ransom is on the increase. Organized robbery is on the increase. Organized violence is on the increase. Critical infrastructure, you know, the crime against critical infrastructure, that is your Eskom, your Transnet, your rail, and whatever the case is on the increase. Illegal mining is on the increase. Mass public transport, a crime, which is a crime around the taxis, is on the increase. Cyber crime is on the increase. Economic and financial crime. We are actually, you know, moving in the wrong direction and very quick, you know, as a country. And when you look at our capacity, you know, of the criminal justice system, you can actually deal with these issues. We just don't have the capacity. And I think we really need to have the question, or really maybe have the conversation, to say how are we actually going to intervene, you know, in as far as this is concerned. South Africa is now sitting as number 19 on the criminality index in the world, not in the continent, in the world, number 19. On the criminality index. So we're going the wrong direction. So this is not how we actually try and get investment into the country. This is not how we actually try to get businesses that are actually currently invested in the country to invest more. Something is going to have to give, and it's going to have to give soon.
What's strange to me is your quote. You quote in your article on this, you quote Transnet costing, I think it's a billion rand a day in terms of maybe sabotage. We know about Eskom sabotage. What do we have a culture of sabotage? Because you can almost understand to some extent, I mean, and I use that in inverted commas, theft for gain. Because criminality should be, or what I understand criminality to be about, is about gain. We've got a sabotage problem in South Africa as well. Can you talk to that?
We certainly do. I mean, look at all the issues that Eskom has actually been raising, you know, around their own employees, their own service providers, their own security guards, you know. So it's really, Eskom is being undermined from internal. You know, even if you do have external parties who come in, you know, with that intention of undermining and sabotaging Eskom, they actually have a right environment within which this culture can actually fester, because their very own employees, I think there have been reports in the past few weeks, I think one yesterday, you know, a report around an Eskom security guard, you know,
stealing diesel, yes.
Right, around some diesel scandal, whatever the case is. Last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, a contracted service provider at Eskom was actually arrested, where he actually said, my employer told me that if I don't sabotage the plant, if I don't actually make sure that I create work for ourselves, I'll be out of the job. So these are people who have actually been entrusted to take care of our critical infrastructure. These are the people who are actually supposed to be operating and maintaining our infrastructure. And these are the people who actually shoot these power stations up. These are the people who actually, you know, make sure that we continue on this surge of load shedding that we've been on for almost 6 weeks now. So I really, is it greed? You know, is it just a culture, you know, conducive to that? Is it, but we have a serious problem. Whatever it is, we have a serious problem. But I really think that the other issue is that, You know, if you haven't come down on those who have been perpetrated, or rather those who have actually been implicated with crime at the top, it becomes very difficult to deal with it at the bottom. You know,
well,
you're giving the message
yeah.
that time, hey, you know, you
well,
well,
it's interesting.
Crime and nothing happens to you.
I don't know if you've read much of Dan Ariely's books, but in one of the examples that he gives, he talks about, and he's done these studies into honesty and what he does is he stages an event at a university, and everybody's wearing, I can't remember which university it was, maybe UCLA. Everybody's wearing that, and he brings in a guy from MIT. And these guys, the UCLA guys, are all acting, and they clearly are cheating. But the guy from MIT doesn't cheat because, for whatever reason, they do the test on him. And then, in another example, they bring in somebody from MIT, and everybody else is wearing MIT shirts, and they cheat. And what they find in cases like that, the guy, when you wear the similar T-shirt, you cheat as well. So what the message and what he extrapolates from that is when people around you and almost belong to your identified group are cheating, well, then it's much easier to cheat. When you feel a bit differently, then you see it as bad behavior for an other, not for yourself, and you cheat less. To some extent, when we've got a government that has been so clearly corrupt, surely that does, in fact, what you were saying before, just send a message that, well, we all might as well cheat.
Absolutely. You know, leadership is not coming down hard on crime, and that is our biggest problem as a country. This fish called South Africa has rotten from the head.
Mm.
So it becomes very difficult then to effectively deal with crime. And, you know, when you have, honestly, you have thieves, you know, masquerading as government ministers and government officials. You know, you've got government ministers and government officials who actually steal PPE from the sick and dying and steal food parcels from the hungry. You
yes.
know, we have for sure lost it as a country. So what then, or what moral authority do we therefore have as a country to actually, or as leaders, you know, political leaders, you know, business leaders as well, you know, in this country, to actually come down hard on crime? It really becomes difficult. And I really think that it's really, maybe when you look at it, it's a leadership crisis that we actually need to deal with. You know, when you look at some of the people that are actually emerging for the December 2022 conference, some of those figures are really, they really should not be there. You know, you can't call some of those names and leadership in the same sentence. But those are the
so
people
true.
That have actually been
so
put
true.
In front of us as leaders of the, potential leaders of the ANC. And you've got a lot of people that are actually supporting them. So what conversations do you think are being held when those people are actually sitting with their constituencies? What culture do you think is actually going to emerge, you know, in South Africa post-December 2022, if any of those leaders emerge? You know, are we really going to be able to nip in the bud this culture of crime that we actually have, you know, as a country? You know, it's as if we have really descended from being a rainbow state to being a mafia state. And we really have to ask the question of, at what point did the bar drop so low, and how did we get here as a country?
What do you think about, I mean, we have had improvements in terms of recapturing some of our state entities, the NPA, for example, trying to deal with a public protector, correctional services. We are seeing this struggle happening, although, albeit maybe a little bit slowly. What is your thoughts on that?
And the change is happening. I mean, look at the brilliant work that has been done by Shamila Patoy and
Absolutely.
Team, you know, who are
Absolutely.
Actually trying to retain the NPA and do good by the country.
Yeah.
Look at the seminars, I think about 29 seminal cases that have actually lost at the court. You know, look at the ex-ESCOM and Transnet bosses that have actually been hauled to the court. These are the people that were really seriously implicated in the state capture project. But I think we cannot undermine the impact of the state capture project. Remember, the sole single impact focus of the state capture project was to precisely undermine the criminal justice system. Because you weaken the criminal justice system, then you can actually run amok. You know, then you have an environment where even when you're being accused of crime, the criminal justice system is just too weak, you know, to be able to deal with you as a perpetrator. Look at how the hawks were actually hollowed out. You know, look at the reason why did we actually shut down the Scorpions? It was because they were on the way, you know, of actually our government in particular, actually, you know, continuing with their criminal activities. They were coming down hard on political figures. So you can see that we have actually, it's an own goal that was actually scored. So when these people have been brought in to actually turn around some of these institutions, that is true, by the way, with the leadership at Eskom and the leadership at Transnet and whatever new leadership in this SOE. The environment, the criminal elements have just been so, it's been the way of doing business for quite some time. You know, criminality has been institutionalized in a whole lot of these institutions. You know, it goes very deep, it goes very wide, and it goes very high. It's almost as if you need to sort of like push the reset button to be able to effectively, you know, deal with or really turn around some of these institutions. Because the reality is that as Andre the Rater pulls left, there are many people in Eskom pulling right. And I mean, there's a whole lot of newspaper articles that are actually revealing what's actually happening at Eskom. And all along, we've been saying Andre is useless, he doesn't know what's going on, he must actually go. And now, you know, we can see, you know, that he's not making progress, because whatever efforts he put in place to actually turn around that institution, there's actually 100 more people who are actually pulling the opposite direction. So it therefore becomes difficult. And there's something as well about the policies in government that just make it difficult for you to get rid of a person. It's not like in the private sector. You know, our policies give us the power, you know, as executives to can decisively deal with these things. You know, the policies in government are just not, you know, as clear cut. You have people who are sitting there who are actually, some of them being suspended for more than a year, for more than 2 years, you know, with pay, you know, and they actually, because the policies, and I don't know whether was that by default or was it by design, that the policies, you know, are actually built and designed such that you can actually get away with murder, you know, essentially. So it really becomes difficult. Even if you can get the best of the best, you can actually go to some of these SOEs, because the environment, because the system, because the processes are not designed to enable you to succeed as the executive, it makes it difficult, you know, for you to be able to turn around those institutions. And I think people like Shamila, you know, the New Hawks boss, you know, I see now they're recapacitating the ID, you know, Eskom, Transnet, it is going to make it difficult for those people to turn around those institutions. But I don't think we can actually expect that something fundamental is really going to happen in a short space of time. And I think we are just being, we are not being realistic, you know, as South Africans. The state capture project took more than 2 years to actually undertake and to actually build. So the institutions that we're dealing with, that we're talking about, you know, the institutions that we're trying to turn around have actually been corrupted for more than 10 years. So whatever has been happening,
so it's going to take a while to reverse that.
It has been institutionalized. So it can't take 3 years. We're going to have to give these people a little bit of leeway, but let's also give them the executive control. Let's actually allow them to actually run these institutions as they see fit. Let's design policies that will enable them, you know, to actually effectively run these institutions. Because when you continuously have politicians breathing down their necks and telling them what to do, and actually that micromanaging that happens in a lot of these SOEs, then it's actually not going to happen. Political interference is really just going to have to get out of the way and allow executives to get on with their business of the day.
Absolutely. What a fantastic, interesting conversation. Busisiwe Mavuso, Chief Executive Officer at Business Leadership South Africa, talking to us this morning about South Africa becoming a mafia state. It is 8:49. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.